Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 in Chicago with a live studio audience. Yes, if you heard a male voice there, which is rare, our future son-in-law is visiting. Yes, Ezra's second shout-out on Monday. Motivation. We are super excited for the upcoming chasana, as we say, wedding. Should coming up very, very quickly. We are super excited and wish Ezra and Ariella much simcha, happiness, building a beautiful Jewish home together. Amen. Okay. We have a very exciting week ahead here in Chicago, and it is the Democratic National Convention. So exciting. We can't wait for all the riots in the Palestine. Okay. Now, for all of you who think, who looked at the design of this week's podcast and thought that I was going to talk about politics, you are partially correct. I'm actually going to continue on the theme of what Rabbi Aaron Cutler said and inspired us in our rabbinic convention. That it's our job to explain why Torah has the goods. Our job to enter, we rabbis, it's on us to explain what is going on in this world. Last week's, why is the world melting down? Well, Torah explains exactly why the world is melting down when we are on the 3.5-yard line of history with only 3.5 yards to go to the final messianic touchdown. Okay, and that's, you could check out last week. But now the question is, because the whole America and probably the world as well is going crazy over politics. Crazy going over politics. And I wanted to give a little background information about what is it? Why did Jews love politics? Jews, no matter which side of the political spectrum you are, they love it. They get into it. It is in their bones. There's something, there's a fervor that when it comes to politics and which side that you want to win, that it brings out a certain intensity of just an intensity, a fervor of what is right and just and good in the world. And we have to understand something very, very important. The deep yearning that the world should get better and that we are on a process that is going to lead an historical process, that the world is going to get better and there's going to be a final rectification. There's going to be we're working towards something great. We're working to a perfected world. That is a Jewish idea. That is a Torah idea. And fundamentally hardwired in a Jewish neshama and Jewish soul is that our mission in this world is to help that process along. That is on the hard drive, seared into the consciousness, the spiritual, emotional, and mental DNA of every Jew, is that we are here to help shepherd the world along towards its perfection. And that is why Jews love politics. Because every ism that comes along is a little bit of taste, a little bit of the saccharin to the sugar. Do people still have saccharin? They don't have it anymore. The Splenda to the sugar. It gives a little taste of that messianic fervor that somehow if I vote for this candidate or somehow vote for that candidate or if I believe in this ism, capital, social, environmental, any ism you want is an echo, it reverberates in the Jewish consciousness that that might just be the vehicle to improve the world, to bring it to its perfection. Okay, and that is something fundamentally, when we talk about a fundamental need, a human need, but in particular a Jewish need. And so what the danger of politics is, and we have to understand this clearly as we're going into the Democratic National Convention and then we're going into the next, whatever few months until this election, it's going to be nonstop, is we have to understand that politics can suck out that natural drive that's within us and deposit it in a vehicle, a vessel that is not worthy of that holy drive to perfecting of the world. Now, I'm speaking a little esoterically. Let me bring it down. What it means is that if we think that the Democratic Party or the Republican Party or some combination or compromise between the two are going to bring the world to its perfection, you are sorely mistaken. It's not happening. That's not where the world is going to be perfected. It's just not. And so therefore, if we are allow the political discussion to suck out the real motivation that should be directed towards real spiritual fixing of the world, Torah learning, good deeds, kindness, tzedakah, I want to know of the mega Jewish donors or even the regular Jewish donors who are giving money to candidates. Are you giving the same amount to Jewish organizations or to Jewish poor people or to the hundreds of thousands of Jews that are displaced, still in Israel, living in hotels because their houses are being bombed in the north or they live near the Gaza envelope? I want to throw a challenge. Any Jew out there who is giving money to politics, you should at least double it to real tzedakah, real giving and helping. Project615.com/donate. Okay, this is not a fundraising thing, but the point is where you put your money is the greatest expression of where your values are. And if you are pumping up the blue ticket, vote blue, act blue, whatever it is, or do red or whatever it is, okay, look at what you're spending. And if it's more than what you're giving to good Jewish causes, then I'm sorry, then you're financial resources, which are the greatest expression of your will in this world, are being sucked into a wrong vortex. And we cannot lose clarity. It is far more important how we treat other people than who we vote for. The greatest moral barometer is not who we vote for. It's how we speak to people while we're discussing it. To say that I'm not going to be friends with that person because they vote for X, Y, or Z is a tremendous violation of loving your fellow Jew as yourself. How in the world are you going to look yourself in the mirror and say, oh, he voted the wrong thing, and you start screaming at each other? And families that are torn apart because they vote for the wrong thing, this is a total perversion of the inner sense of perfecting the world. Children who disagree with their parents and are going to make their parents feel bad because they vote for a different party are violating a Torah commandment. You might as well stick a piece of pork in your mouth. It's the same equivalent. It's actually more severe to not honor your parents than it is to eat non-kosher. You know, I shouldn't say that. They're equally valued in the Torah. But the sources about the spiritual ramifications about not honoring your parents are massive. And so we cannot be duped over here. Jews, this is not everything about these political conventions is to draw up. It's very emotional for such a rational society. Look at these conventions. They have the most emotional stories that are drawing out the emotions in this sad story and this inspirational story to get you to be emotionally moved to say that this is going to be the perfection of the world. This is what's going to lead to it. And I got news for you. It's not. It certainly is not. And I think the first half of the podcast to be dedicated to that idea is very important and very worthy. How we speak to people, how we interact with them is much more important than who we vote for, because kindness and goodness is what is going to win the messianic race of perfecting the world, and not a blue or red ticket. Okay, end of part one. The second thing I would like to talk about is there's a phrase out there now called cultural misappropriation. That means that white people can't act like black people, and black people can't act like white people. Well, they can't. Or they're not called out on it. Okay, fine. Okay, but you know, you can't act, you know, you can't dress up like, you know, an American Indian and First Nations or whatever they're called. And everyone has their culture, and you can't dip into it. You can't take it or misappropriate for your own uses. Well, I would like to just to point out, again, in this theme of the job of the rabbi today in 2024 is to educate and to interpret what is being said so that you will understand this messaging. And so there is a tremendous cultural misappropriation of Jewish ideas for political purposes. And in fact, the title of the podcast is Jewish Values. I see bandied about, this policy is a fulfillment of Jewish values, and this policy is a fulfillment of Jewish values. And guess what? It's not. In fact, Jewish values are just the opposite. And so you need to be a very sophisticated consumer of political messaging. When people say this is a fulfillment of Jewish values, be very careful. Be very careful. So now, in honor of the Democratic National Convention, I would like to take a quick peek at one of my favorite images that comes out every year. Now, this image is brought to you by the Jewish Democratic Council of America. And believe me, I can do this with other political streams as well. Just so happens to be the DNC is in Chicago. So let's start with them. So every year they come out with a Seder plate. I love this. It's just beyond belief. Okay, the Jewish Democratic Council of America Advocacy Seder Plate. And what is on this Seder plate are the, it's literally an image. You look over there, it's a Seder plate. And it says, preserve our democracy and protect voting rights. Okay. Support the U.S.-Israel relationship. That sounds good. I like that. Protect the environment. Welcoming the stranger. Stand with Ukraine. LGBTQI plus rights. Access to affordable health care. Abortion rights. Gun safety reforms. Equality, and justice. They are playing on Tzedek Tirdof over there. Righteousness shall you pursue. Fair labor laws and workers' rights. Combat domestic extremism, racism, and anti-Semitism. I don't even know where to begin with this Seder plate. Ma nishtana laze. What's different from this night than all the nights? Is cultural misappropriation. This Seder plate is hysterical. Okay? Let's start with Stand with Ukraine. Any Jew who bandies about a slogan of Stand with Ukraine has done no studying of the last 70, 80 years of what happened in World War II with the Ukrainians. And it certainly has not gone back to the mid-1600s of Gezeres Tach V'Tat, the Chmelnytsky massacre, which literally over 2 years wiped out 300,000 Jews. I mean, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say. Stand with Ukraine as a Jewish value? Are you kidding me? Now, politically, is it okay? I know you can debate, Russia, Ukraine, it was not fair. Okay, Russia's losing the war now. Okay, whatever it is. But a Jewish value to stand with some of the worst oppressors of our people in Europe? Are you kidding me? And that's on our Seder plate? Are you kidding me? You need to be, we need to be sophisticated consumers of what is being bandied about. So just because a certain mission and political circumstance says that we need to stand with Ukraine, that's a Jewish value? That's not a Jewish value. Now, maybe geopolitically you want to stand with Ukraine. Okay, fine. But that's not on our Seder plate. That's not a Jewish value. So don't believe it when someone tells you that it is a Jewish value. Okay, now, here's another one I love. Protect the environment. Now, protecting the environment is certainly, we are given in Bereshit and Genesis, the stewardship of the world. We are stewards of the world. We need to take care of it. And we certainly need to take care of the resources. But we're also told, v'chivshua, and to conquer it. We are given permission by the Almighty to rule over the animal, vegetative, and mineral world, okay? In other words, that's they are subservient to us. And so many in the environmental movement, there's a group called Earth First. No, that's wrong. That is a heretical idea. It's not Earth First, it's man first. And so many people in the environmental movement say that it's all about preserving the resources. No, God said, God put those resources in the world so that we can use them. Now, we need to use them judiciously, and we need to use them fairly, and we need to share, and etc. But protect the environment, it depends on what you mean. Yes, protect the environment, but it has to be not an end. It has to be a mean to an end of what is best for human beings. Okay, here's another one. Welcome the stranger. Okay, well, welcome the stranger. So here's a classic theme of taking the leaving Egypt. Now, be nice to the stranger because you were strangers in a strange land as well. It's directly taken from Exodus, right? We left Egypt. And so therefore, when we become independent, we need to look back kindly upon those people. Does that mean that you have open borders? As many people are saying, well, you have to be nice to the stranger. Okay, but a country needs to have some sense of borders and who comes in and who doesn't come in. And, you know, just because you want a lot of people to vote for your political party to have an open border with who knows how many terrorists have come in is frightening. So again, here's a classic cultural misappropriation of welcoming the stranger as an excuse for poor border policy. Okay, I can keep on going. Now, LGBTQI+. Okay, folks, if you're at 18 minutes of my podcast, you deserve to hear something a little bit controversial. Okay, my home has been open for 20 years for every Jew who walks through the door. We have had every single type of Jew in this house. And I want you to know, we have several participants in our programming who affiliate with the LGBTQ movement. But that doesn't mean it's a Jewish value. And in fact, it's just the opposite. It's not a Jewish value. It's not a Jewish value. In fact, it's the opposite of a Jewish value. Now, how do you relate to those people who identify with love and concern and care and education and the same chicken soup and warm challah, homemade challah that everyone else gets? But don't say that that is a Jewish value when it's just the opposite. Folks, we need to be sophisticated consumers of the ideas that are being bandied about, because there's a lot of Jewish cultural misappropriation of Jewish concepts that play on the heartstrings of Jews, the matzo ball soup and you know, mamala, bubala. Oh my gosh, Kamala is now the bubala. Okay, I'll finish with this because it's just something that's, it's too delicious. I can't hold myself back. There is an image now of Kamala with her husband, Doug Emhoff, who's Jewish. And they're describing how great Kamala is going to be for the Jews. Okay. And And there's a picture of her lighting the menorah with Doug. And I have to point out how ironic that is. Do we know what Hanukkah is all about? What was Hanukkah all about? It was the fight, a fight to the death against assimilation and intermarriage. That's what the holiday was about. I kid you not. I'm not making this up. You can't make this up. And so Jewish groups are banding about the Kamel is good for Judaism by her lighting. Her, an intermarried person. Folks, we have intermarried people in our house all the time. And children of it all the time. We have street creds of love and care and concern. Please do not misunderstand me. But to put that up, that her lighting the menorah, which symbolizes a rejection of intermarriage and a rejection of assimilation, is cultural misappropriation of real Jewish values. So as the convention heats up this week, it should be very interesting. I hope it will be a peaceful week in Chicago. We're battening down the hatches. God willing, everyone will be safe. And we will be smart, intelligent Jewish consumers of the political slogans that are going around being bandied about by both sides. And I wish us all the fortitude and the clarity to plug in and to be faithful to the Torah concepts and practices that will really perfect the world. God bless. Have an amazing week. And we look forward to seeing you again right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.